Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Man, wasn't the worship unbelievable this morning? So good. Before you sit down, let me just pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the people of C3. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here. We ask you to come and do what only you can do today. We love you, God. We give you access to our hearts, to our minds, to our souls, to our spirits. Pray for those online that are watching, Father. I pray that you would be with them right where they are. Holy Spirit, that you would go there, and that they would feel what we feel here. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why don't you punch your neighbor? It's a good way to welcome somebody to church. Thanks, guys. It's great to be here. Hey, last week I was at East Campus in the morning and then North Campus at night, and I had FOMO. Because Central is my people. But it's great to be back. One last thing on Emerge, fellas. There's something powerful when you immerse yourself in an environment like Emerge, like our conferences, because God can you know, speak to you, and you can encounter God in church or at your house or in your car or whatever. But there's something about immersion. That's why you see all these motivational people. They have seminars and they pack all this stuff into, you know, a single weekend. They want you to be immersed in this information, because oftentimes a lot more is caught than taught, but you can't catch it if you're not there. And so there's something about immersion. Jesus went into a tomb. He was immersed in a tomb, but when he went in, he was dead. But when he came out, he was alive. There's something about, you know, going somewhere and just being immersed in it. So make sure that you guys do that. It's going to be the most powerful weekend on the calendar this year. I'm telling you, it's going to be amazing. So, how you guys doing? Just got really quiet. Don't make me invite the team back up, the worship team. They'll be up in a little bit. They need to go eat a burrito or something. Anybody wake up the wrong time? You can be honest. Yeah, I see you. I see you. I see you. Hey, boy. Some of us did. We were wondering if some of you thought you were coming to the 8:30. But anyways. Well, hey, we're in a new series, The Weekend That Changed the World. And so I want to, I'm excited about this message this morning. About 15 years ago, I met my wife. So we are going to be married 15 years in September, this September, which is pretty incredible. And so it was good. There was a couple of things, though, that we had to, a couple of issues we had to get through before, you know, I could pop the question. And so they weren't very spiritual things. They were just a couple of things. And so one of the questions, or one of the statements that my wife told me before we ever got engaged or anything, she said, "I will never marry a man who doesn't tithe." You can see she's pretty passionate about it. And so I was like, 10% to marry you? Easy, done. No one ever asked me to tithe before. When she did, I'm like, 10%, I get to marry you. That's pretty easy. So I did that. The second thing that she asked me was, she said, even though she grew up with dogs and pets, and I grew up with dogs, she said, "Do we have to have a pet? Do we have to have a dog?" And because she didn't like the hair and the potential smell and that sort of thing. And so I'm like, well, you know, it's cool. I mean, I had a cute little dog, Jeffrey, for 13 years, and he was amazing. But then, you know, he passed, and then I had like three crazy Cocker Spaniels that I didn't really love. And so I was like, all right, I don't really need a dog. I can live without a dog. We're not like dog lovers. You know, like a lot of us are these days, dog lovers, especially in San Diego. Like if you were an alien that came to San Diego and just observed, you would see a dog pulling their owner down the street, stopping at somebody's lawn who's not theirs, doing their business. And then you would see the human go down and pick up their business and throw it in the trash. And then you would see the dog pull the human back to the house, go into the house, get into the bed that the human made for them. And then the human would go get them food and water and bring it to them to eat. And then when they were done, the human would clean up their food and their water and put it away. And then the human would put them in a sweet bag, go to the mall and just feed them treats for the next 2 hours. Like you would wonder, who's in charge in San Diego? Is it the dogs or is it the humans? It's okay if you're that person. We just aren't those people. And it's okay. It's okay. So we had to get over that. That was a big issue. We had to get over that issue. The other issue that I had with her, the question I asked her is, because she grew up with a dad who had a luxury home business, who built homes. Her brothers built homes. One of her brothers built his first home when he was like 22, from start to finish, like by himself pretty much. And so they were very handy. They could put stuff together. I grew up, and my dad actually was pretty handy. Like, he could put stuff together. He could, like, fix cars and stuff like that. But I didn't really follow that path. I played sports, and I didn't worry about putting stuff together. So I couldn't, work on a car, but I could, if you threw me a fastball, I'd take you deep. But I didn't go down the fixing stuff, okay? And, I took auto shop, but I didn't spend much time there. I was more, hey, I got to get my car, and I went to Taco Bell or something like that. So I didn't know how to, I wasn't handy, okay? But I've been now through, so I had to ask my wife. I said, hey, is it okay that if something breaks or if, we have to put stuff together, can we hire somebody? Because I'm not be able to do that. Like, is that okay? Like, will you marry a man that can't put stuff together? Is that like high up on your list? She's like, it's okay, we can hire people. I'm like, oh, thank God. So we kind of got over the two big issues, and then we could propose, and here we are 15 years later. But over the last 15 years, I got 3 kids. My oldest is 10, and so I've gone through 10 Christmases with little kids, and I've had to learn how to put together toys. I've had to, because we've had, different houses and different size furniture and things, I've had to learn how to put together furniture and cabinets and stuff like that, and I've done the IKEA thing, which is hell on earth. I've done that. And when I do IKEA, I usually miss one thing, and then I have to disassemble everything and then put it back together. You know how, like, you put together a cabinet and then the back is matted, not shiny? So you got to take the whole stupid thing apart and change it so the back is shiny, even though it's against the wall. Like, who cares? But, So I've done all of that stuff, but I've gotten better. I mean, I can put together toys. I've gotten a little bit better. But I got to tell you, what changed my whole life in this area is when I found out there were tools you can plug in. They're called power tools. You could plug these in. Now I could put together furniture much quicker. Now I could hang art or take it down much faster. I could plug stuff in. I found these things called power tools. So now I have a power drill. Oh, yeah. I have a power drill. And I put stuff together really quickly, and I take it apart even faster, and it's like, it's changed my life. I don't have to. So I have a power drill. I also have a shop vac that can suck up water from outside and, vacuum stuff. And I was told that qualifies as a power tool. Anthony, yeah, power tool. I have an air compressor. I hate blowing up my kids' tires on their bikes and balls and stuff like that, so I have an air compressor. Colin, you would know. You would like this stuff. He likes air compressors. It's very loud and very manly when you have an air compressor. And so I put the garage door up, and I turn on the air compressor, and I stand out on my driveway, so every man in the neighborhood knows I have an air compressor, knows I have power tools, and I blow stuff up. I feel very manly, very manly. So now I have power tools, and I gotta tell you, it's taken my life, it's taken my ability to put things together to a brand new level. Like, I'm somewhat efficient and proficient now in putting stuff together because of power tools, because I can plug stuff
in. It's changed my life. But it's actually no different in the kingdom. There are tools available. There are power tools available to you and I that we all have access to that will take our ability to a brand new level. Will take your life, your Christianity, to a brand new level. They're called power tools. The problem is most of us aren't accessing them. Most of us don't know about them. We're still rolling up the manual window and all you gotta do is press a button. There are power tools that are available to you and I. And I gotta tell you, when I got to C3, I didn't really know about these power tools. I was a Christian all my life, but I just went to churches, or maybe I didn't pay attention, but I didn't know about the power tools that are found in this Bible that could completely change your life. And when I got to C3, had I not known people who taught about the power tools that were found in the Bible and possessed these tools, I may not be here today. I may not be here today. About 12 years ago, I got sick, and I've shared this story before. And if you want to hear the whole story, you can listen to the podcast because I shared the whole story at East Campus, but some of y'all have already heard it so many times. But I just wanted to shortcut it. 12 years ago, I got sick. I was in excruciating pain in my stomach and in my back. And to kind of compress the story, I went to the emergency room 3 straight nights. They couldn't find anything wrong with me. The first 2 nights, they thought I was constipated. And my respect for constipated people went through the roof because it was painful. I'm like, wow. I got a whole new level of respect for you. But the third night, they finally took my blood. And your creatinine levels is what measures your kidney function. My creatinine levels were through the roof. They're supposed to be at 1. They were nearing 4. When you get to 8, you're on dialysis. And so they took my blood, and the doctor came to my wife and I, and he said, "Do you have a will?" And we said, "Yes, why?" And he said, "Because your kidneys are failing, you have what's called acute renal failure." So over the next 3 to 4 days, I lost 20 pounds, and I'm in the hospital, and I'm about to get a biopsy on day 4. A biopsy is when they take a part of your kidney, and they test it, because they had no idea why I was sick. I was 31 years old and in great shape, and they didn't know why I was sick. So they're going to take a biopsy. At that point, every single day, my creatinine levels were getting higher and higher and higher. I got up to like a 4.8, and it was going up every day. And so I was nearing that 8 mark. I was more than halfway there, and they didn't know what was wrong. And so luckily, I had met Pastor Jurgen. I had not come to C3 yet, but I'd been to a couple of different things, and I knew a guy named Matt, Dr. Matt Hubbard, our North Campus pastor. We were best friends. And so I called him, and I said, "Hey, do you think Pastor Jurgen would come and pray for me?" Because Pastor Jurgen, I had heard that he had seen miracles and stuff. And so I said, "Do you think he'd pray?" And Matt said, "Yeah, he probably would, but he's on a plane to Australia." But I called him, and he said, "There's a guy named Mark Peterson that's just coming into town, Pastor Summer's husband, that's just coming into town right now, and he knows how to pray." And so that day, Matt called Mark Peterson, and Mark fasted all day for somebody he had never met before to come and pray. And so when he walked in the room, and he asked me if he could pray for me, and I said, "Yes." My whole family was there. My friends were there. And he started to pray. And when he started to pray, there was a presence that entered the room, a presence that I'd never felt before. It was like a weight that had entered there. My heart was beating out of my chest. Everybody in the room was crying. He started to pray, and he started to prophesy Isaiah 58 that said, "Your healing will come forth speedily." And then he started to tell me things about myself and my wife that he knew like he knew it, but it was a prophetic word. It was a word of knowledge. He was telling us about ourselves, about our future, about how God was going to use us. Some of those things are happening still today. And my mom came up to me afterwards. She said, "Does he know you?" And I said, "No, he doesn't know me." She was just saying things like he did know me. It was the Spirit of God through him. And so he prayed. The next day, they took my blood, and my creatinine levels had more than half. Now they were in the low 2s overnight, just like that. They didn't do the biopsy. The next day, it was at a 1, which is normal, and they released me out of the hospital. The doctors had no idea what happened, but I tell you what happened. The power of God entered that room through a man named Mark Peterson. Haven't had a problem since. So when he left the room, I looked at him when he left, and I said, "I want what that guy has," because I'd never heard anybody pray like that. I'd never seen that kind of authority. I was like, "What was it? I want it." What he had was power tools. They were tools that were available to me, but I had yet to plug them in. today I want to tell you about three of those tools that you and I have access to, that you and I need to be effective Christians, and that will take your life and your Christianity to a brand new level, your ability to a brand new level. The first one is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is what will change your life. Matthew 3:11. This is John the Baptist, the greatest prophet to this time in the Bible. Here's what he said. He said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Acts 1:8 says this, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So when the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "Go and make disciples around the whole world." But then he said, "Wait in Jerusalem until you receive power." Because you can't do what I'm calling you to do. You need ability. You need power. So he said, "Wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes." So they go and they wait in the upper room. Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes, baptizes them all with fire and with power. And they all start speaking in tongues as a sign that they had received power. This is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We can't be effective witnesses in this life, according to the Bible, unless we have filled or baptized with power. Jesus never did a miracle before he was baptized with power. The Bible says, and this isn't just for the church. This is for the world. This is for us going into the world. The Bible says that you and I are the light of the world, not the light of the church. We need to be baptized with power so that we can go out there and make a difference. You can't just do it on yourself. You need it for your career. It's not just for healing the sick and raising the dead. There is an anointing for you to create wealth. There is an anointing for your business to fly. There is an anointing for your finances to be accelerated. There is an anointing. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's for us to be effective witnesses in the world. So I wanted this. I heard about it, but I wasn't here yet. But I heard people, and I kind of knew about it. And so I would ask Pastor Juergen. I'm like, "Pastor Juergen, I want to get baptized with the Holy Spirit." And some people, you know, get weirded out because sometimes when you pray for people, they fall over or whatever. I didn't care. I didn't care if I fell over. I didn't care if I flew against the wall. I didn't care if I stuck to the ceiling. I just wanted to be baptized with power. That's it. Now, my wife and I, we grew up not knowing. She grew up being taught other things that was not biblical. But every time we went to the Bible, man, we saw it. And then we'd look at the people around us that were operating in this, and the fruit in their life was significant. And so we really wanted what they had. And so we ended up, you know, going after it. And then I talked to my friend Kayla. She just got barely saved, like literally months. And then she gets baptized with the Holy Spirit. She's speaking in tongues. And me and her husband, Matt, are like, "What the heck? What's wrong with us?" Pastor Juergen would just say, "Stay hungry. It's going to happen. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled." And so we were just getting hungry, and I didn't know when it was going to happen. Then I heard Kayla's mom was driving in her car singing worship, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God came into her car. She started singing in tongues out of nowhere, just spontaneous baptism of the Holy Ghost. She was crying out for it. So then every time I got in my car, I was like, singing really loud worship. That was probably where I made a mistake, because I can't sing, so the Lord's probably like, "La, la, 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 la." But it didn't happen in my car. But it did happen one day when I walked into a youth conference, and I've told you this story. I'm gonna abbreviate this as well. My wife and I walk into this youth conference, and Pastor Juergen sees us, and he says, "Come to the front." And we didn't know it was a youth conference, so we felt awkward and out of place already being there. And then he said, "Sit in the front row." We had never sat in the front row. I'd never been in the top 20. So in the front row, it's exposing. You never know, like, if the pastor's going to look into your soul and call out a sin. Just kidding. That doesn't happen. But I felt, that's what I felt like. I was exposed. And so go through the whole service. Pastor Andrew and the team get back on the stage. They start worshiping. And I had been praying for my wife because she didn't really want to come to C3 because she didn't think some of the stuff was biblical. And we were still kind of working it out. And so, but I wanted to go. And so Pastor Juergen turns to my wife and starts praying for her. And so I'm like, "Oh, come on, Holy Spirit, drop her right here." Boom, come on. So I'm praying. And he's praying for it. Nothing happened, except for a great word. But then he came over to me and he put his hand on my chest. And I felt this electricity go through my body. And I started to waver a bit. And I was in good shape. I was strong. So I'm like, I'm not going down. I'm not going down. Because if I go down, my wife's never going to let us come to C3. So I'm just like, I'm fighting this thing, you know. And Jurgen's praying. He's hitting me on the chest. You know, and he's like praying. And then he goes, in the name of Jesus, baptize him with the Holy Spirit and power. Bam, I hit the deck. I start speaking in tongues. She kia raba. And I put my hand over my mouth because I'm like, wow, if my wife hears me speaking in tongues, she's never going to let us go to C3. And so I get up as fast as I can. I'm still a little bit, they're still singing, you know, hallelujah. And I'm trying to stand and, you know, whatever. My wife leans over to me and says, why didn't you just go down? You looked like an idiot. I was doing it for you, babe. Anyways, I got baptized with the Holy Spirit and power that night. I started speaking in a language I'd never learned before. And my Christianity, my ability went through the roof. I started to read the Bible. And the Bible became so interesting, so powerful, so alive in me. I started not just reading about what was happening in the Bible. I started living what was happening in the Bible. I started to pray for people and they got healed. I started to prophesy about people just like Mark Peterson did to me that night. And it was crazy. My ability, my Christianity went to the next level. Prayed for a woman with cancer, breast cancer. She got healed. And the doctor's report confirmed it 1 week later. So it was amazing. I'd never thought that could happen before from me. I had barely just got, you know, baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, within months, we're praying for people with cancer. Just last week, I got reconfirmed a miracle at North Campus. There was a woman who came up to me last time I was up there, which was like in December. And she said, hey, my blood platelet levels are really low. She said, I have a family of five and I need life insurance, but they won't give me life insurance because I have a blood disease. And so she said, would you pray for me? I get tested next month. And I love it when people get tested the next month or next week because then I can know what, you know, immediate results, proof, everything. So she said, I'm getting tested. I said, okay, let's go. So we prayed. I commanded her blood to multiply in the name of Jesus Christ. Pretty much all I said. And then a month later, she Facebooked me and she said, you're not going to believe this. I got my test results back. And my blood platelet levels are now normal for the first time in over 8 years. And it happened in a moment because of the power of God. And now she reconfirmed with me. Now her blood platelet level is even higher than it was a month ago because God is healing her. God is restoring her. And there's just been miracles after miracles after miracles. Spines, bulging discs, vertigo, you name it. God heals it. He's healed every disease in the history of the world. Every disease in the history of the world. But it's not just for healing the sick. The power of God, when the power of God comes on you, it equips you to be a witness to the world. So all of a sudden, you'll walk out and you won't be the light of the church, you'll be the light of the world. There'll be something different about you. You'll operate in wisdom that you've never had before because with the Holy Spirit comes the mind of Christ. All of a sudden, you're seeing things you never saw. You're operating in a way you've never operated before. Your business is flying out of nowhere. When you hit speed bumps in the road, you don't get knocked off course. You continue to go because you have boldness on the inside of you and you believe God for breakthrough. Something happens when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit. John 14:12 says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do because I go to my Father. So Jesus went to his Father. He ascended to heaven, and then he sent you and I the Holy Spirit. He sent you and I the Holy Spirit so that we could do the things that he's assigned us to do. The Bible says the same works and greater works can we do. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is here. Jesus never preached a sermon. He never did a miracle without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So why do we think we can do what he's called us to do without the same power that he has? Acts 4:13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, Peter and John just healed the crippled man who was crippled 40 years at the Gate Beautiful. They perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled and realized that they had been with Jesus. Now, this is interesting because this is Acts 4. This is two chapters after the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. But here's the deal. The disciples were with Jesus for the last 3.5 years. But now, the world is recognizing them and saying, man, these guys have such boldness. They're untrained. They're uneducated. They must have been with Jesus. They didn't recognize that before the baptism. But after they got baptized with the Holy Ghost, they started to look like Jesus. They started to do the things that Jesus did because he didn't do anything until he was baptized with the Holy Ghost. So now they actually looked like him and they were operating like him. They said, my gosh, these guys are untrained and uneducated. They must have been with Jesus. The baptism of the Holy Spirit will take your ability to a brand new place. The second power tool I want to talk about is prayer. Prayer is something we've all heard about, known about, talked about. But when I got to this church 12 years ago, I didn't really know. I used to pray, absolutely, but I used to pray, you know, kind of begging prayers or silent prayers or whatever. But when I got here, I started to learn the power of prayer. And it's amazing because the disciples were with Jesus, right? And they're seeing him, you know, raise the dead, preach incredible messages, cast out devils. And they come to him and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. Not, Lord, teach us to preach. Not, Lord, teach us to raise the dead. Not, Lord, teach us how to heal us. It said, Lord, teach us to pray. They saw something in prayer. Luke 11, 2-4 is the Lord's Prayer. We've all probably potentially said the Lord's Prayer. I used to say the Lord's Prayer before every baseball game when I was at UCLA. We'd go down to the right field line and we'd take a knee and we were really spiritual and we'd say the Lord's Prayer. But it was just a religious ceremony. Then we'd go off and, you know, be idiots. We didn't even know what we were saying. We were just reciting the Lord's Prayer. But when you start to read the Lord's Prayer and you see it as a strategy on how to pray, a template on how you can take ground, you start to realize how powerful it really is. So the disciples come to Jesus and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. So Jesus says to them, when you pray, say. When you pray, say. That right there changed my whole prayer life. I used to just pray in my head when I was in my bed, and then I'd wake up 8 hours later, not knowing what I prayed for, or if I prayed, I'd just fall asleep. And I realized that nothing was ever really happening in my life, in my prayer life. Nothing was ever shifting because I would just pray in my mind. Now, God can read your thoughts. God knows what you're feeling in your heart, so it's not that you can never pray like that. But when you pray, when you say, all of a sudden you can focus, you can stay awake when you pray, you can focus on what you're praying at, and the devil can't read your mind. So unless you say, he doesn't know that he has to leave. Unless you speak to that thing, it doesn't know that it has to go because it can't read your mind. Only God can read your mind. So when you pray, say. When I started to pray out loud, I found that I could pray for a lot longer, and I found that the things that I was praying for started to happen. Because the world has to respond to the word of God. So when you pray, say, and when it lines up with the Bible, the word of God is powerful and the world has to respond. When you pray, say, our Father in heaven. I'm not sure if some of you realize this, but God is a father. And he is a good father. And he loves you. He's passionate about you. God, our Father. I am a father. And I have 3 kids. And right now, this particular time in my life, I have a lot going on. I'm a pastor. I have a business. I'm coaching my kids. I'm on the school board of my kids' school. I'm buying a house that's way above my pay grade, but it's totally in his. And I'm doing all of these things, right? So it's kind of stressful at the moment. So I go to bed last night, and I wake up this morning. And do you know what the first thought I had of all this stuff going on? The first thought I had waking up was how proud I was of my sons. Because yesterday we had a baseball game, and we're 2-0, by the way, but we had a baseball game, and they played so hard, and they had great attitudes, and they did really well. And I'm just proud of their success. I'm proud of the way they played. That was the first thing I thought about in a life that's pretty crazy. The first thing I thought about is my sons. Your Father in heaven thinks about you nonstop. He thinks thoughts towards you, the Bible says. He loves you. He loves the fact when you're successful. He loves the fact that you're in church today. He loves the fact when he sees you separate yourself to him and pray. He loves spending time with you. He loves the fact, men, that you're sacrificing some money to go to Emerge. He loves it. He loves you. He's proud of you. That's who he is. When you're praying, say, our Father, hallowed be your name. When you say, hallowed be your name, you're honoring who he is. You're enthroning him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're honoring him for who he is. And when you do that, you put him in a place. You give him access to your life. You say, Lord, have your way with my life. You are my king. I submit to you. Hallowed be your name. Then it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I like that part. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to invite up the worship team. As it is in heaven. In other words, God's will doesn't automatically just happen. A lot of Christians think that the will of God always happens. Let me just tell you something. The will of God is not for you or me to be addicted to drugs. The will of God is not for you or me to have a child who passes away. The will of God is not for me and you to be addicted to anything, to be divorced, to be upset, to be in chaos, to be sick. People say that God gives you sickness to teach you a lesson. He's never done that. Never once has he done that. In fact, he sent his son to die on a cross and give his back for your healing, not your sickness. He's never given you that. He's a good father. But unless we pray, the will of God doesn't happen. That's why when you pray, say. It doesn't say, beg God for the kingdom. It says, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You don't have to wait to heaven to experience heaven. You can do it right here and right now. If you want to know what the will of God is, just look at heaven. There's no sickness. There's no poverty. There's no chaos. If you want to know what God's will is, if your life isn't lining up with the will of God, isn't lining up with heaven, then call down heaven on that situation. Call down heaven on your life and make it line up with the will of God. God's will doesn't just happen. We got to enforce the will of God. Give us this day our daily bread. God wants to give you something every single day. Fresh bread, fresh bread, fresh bread. And forgive us our sins. We need to repent. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. We need to forgive other people. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We have an enemy. His name is the devil. And he wants to wreck your life. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. And he does not respond to nice. He does not respond to cordial conversation. He does not respond when you think about it in your head. He only responds when you say with authority. That's the only way he's ever going to respond. We have an enemy. He's roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Who is the Christians that don't know that they have authority? He knows if you don't know. And then he'll attack you. He'll attack you. He'll attack you. But once you find out who you are, once you find out you have access to the power tools, no longer can the devil mess with your life. Matthew 16, 19 says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Luke 10, 19, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, devils, and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing by shall any means hurt you. I would encourage you to memorize that verse and declare it over your life. My kids know that verse by heart because the devil does not respond to nice. He has to know that you have authority or he's not going to leave your life. He doesn't play by the rules. He does illegal things. He is the father of lies. He needs to know that you know who you are in Christ. He needs to know that you have authority. You have authority. Jesus is saying that he's given you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. That's incredible that he's given you the keys so that when you pray, the devil will bow his knee and heaven backs you up. Whatever you bind on earth, whatever you loose on earth, will be loose and backed up in heaven. But you might be saying, well, Jesus said it is finished on the cross. So why do we have to pray that his will be done? The United States of America in 1776 declared their independence. But ever since then, we've been fighting enemies to keep and expand our freedom, to keep and expand our territory. So just because we've been set free doesn't mean we still can't fight. We still got to fight because there's enemies and they're looking. How do we get in there? How do we take advantage of them? Are they tired? How do we get in there? No. We have to keep fighting. We have to keep standing because the devil's going to keep attacking until we stand strong and we say, devil, get off my life in the name of Jesus. I've been given authority over all the powers of the enemy and nothing by shall any means hurt me in Jesus' name. We got to keep fighting to keep what God has died to give us. We need a church with power tools. The other thing that we do is we beg God for stuff he's already given us. We say, God, heal me, heal me, heal me. And Jesus says, didn't you read the Bible? 1 Peter 2:24 says that you were healed by my stripes. Now all you got to do is say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's already been done, but you got to fight. God, I'm struggling financially. Well, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's already given it to us. We got to fight to keep it. We got to take ground, but he's already given it to us. The victory has been won. We don't talk to our problems, or we don't talk to our God about our problems. We talk to our problems about our God. And when you speak to that problem in the name of Jesus, everything changes. Everything changes. Number three, the name of Jesus. Power tool number three. Philippians 2, 9 to 11. Therefore, God has also highly exalted Jesus and given him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is an amazing scripture because God is in heaven, Yahweh, and he says, I have exalted my son Jesus, his name, above every name, under the earth, in the earth, and in the heavens. Well, God lives in heaven. So God has highly exalted the name of Jesus, even above his own name, so that when you and I pray, we pray in the name of Jesus, because it's the most powerful name in the universe. And the second you get born into the kingdom of God, you get to use it. Extraordinary. My kids, when they were first born, I didn't give them something that was the most powerful thing in the universe. But God is saying, when you get born again into the kingdom, I'm going to sign a power of attorney. You can use my name wherever you go, wherever you go. The most powerful name in the universe. He's an amazing God. He wants you to win. Mark 16, 17 to 18. It says, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name, in the name of Jesus. It says, for those who believe. That means everybody. That doesn't mean you have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a worship leader. You don't have to be a leader. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to wear skinny jeans. All you got to do is believe. And those who believe in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. I got to tell you, power tools mean something to me, because if I didn't come to a church that believed in the power tools, if I didn't encounter a guy who was pressing into God, who was fasting, who was believing, who knew how to pray, I might not be here. You and I need power tools. God is looking for a church who is not afraid of power. The world needs a church with power, because they're going to go look for power, and if we don't provide it, they're going to go to the mediums, they're going to go to the psychics, they're going to go to the crazy people, the tarot card readers. We got to be a church with power. If we want to change the world, you and I need power. We need power tools, and we can't be afraid to use them. Amen? Come on, why don't we give Jesus a shout of praise real quick. The devil doesn't mind if you're just comfortable. He'll just leave you right where you are. But when a church gets awakened to what the Bible actually says, when we start operating in the way that the Bible actually teaches us to operate in, all of a sudden, the devil gets terrified. All of a sudden, a memo goes out in hell. Watch out for that church. You've seen that, what is it, that quote that says, oh, crap, he's awake. Signed, the devil. That's you. That's me. When we wake up, oh, devil trembles, because he knows wherever we go, we're bringing the name of Jesus. We're bringing the power of God. We're bringing the ability to pray. We're bringing the authority that God died to give us. It's an exciting way to live. It's an exciting Christianity. It's an exciting Christianity. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?
There might be some people here who have never invited Jesus into their life. And he is the one that unlocks everything in Christianity, everything in your life. So if that's you this morning and you've never invited him into your world, you've never made him your Lord and Savior, or maybe today you want to kind of rededicate your life to him, start operating in the way that I was talking about today. If you're one of those two people, with everybody's eyes closed and head bowed, would you just lift your hand where you are so I can pray for you? Is there anybody like that? God bless you, ma'am. I see that hand. Thank you. God bless you, ma'am. Up to my left, I see that hand. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Who else is there? Thank you. I see that hand up there. I see that hand over there to my left. Thank you. Once I see your hand, you can put it down. Who else is there? Who else is there? Thank you. I see that hand back there. God bless you. God bless you guys. God bless you. I see those hands just went up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand, young man. Thank you. Incredible. Incredible. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can y'all just lift your hands one more time just so I can see it and know who I'm praying for? Thank you. Thank you. There's quite a few of you. Thank you. Okay, with every eye closed and head bowed, I want to pray this prayer. Everybody in the whole building, say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on a cross for my sins. Lord Jesus, today, I invite you into my life. And I ask that you would help me live a life that glorifies you. Today I declare that I am saved, that heaven is my home, and that God is my Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why don't we give all those people that lifted their hands? Right over here we have what we call a response lounge. And if you lifted your hand, I want you on your way out. We're not done yet. We're going to pray for some people. We're not done yet, but on your way out, go over here, bring your friends or your family member, and we want to give you a Bible and a book that's called Following Jesus. And it'll just help you on your way, to navigate through this Bible. And so make sure you do that on your way out, answer any questions that you have. But I do want to pray for some people this morning, and I want to pray for a couple of different kinds of people. The first group of people I want to pray for are those that want to get baptized with the Holy Spirit. What I was talking about today with evidence of speaking in tongues. When the disciples were in the upper room, the Holy Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind, and then they started to speak in tongues in a languages that they've never learned before, and that was a sign that they had received power, because they didn't know what power looked like, they didn't know what it felt like, but it was a sign that they received it. When you speak in tongues, you speak mysteries, the Bible says, the perfect prayer of the Holy Spirit. The perfect prayer of the Holy Spirit goes up as mysteries and comes down as revelation. And the Bible says that you build up your most holy faith on the inside of you because you're praying the perfect prayer of God for your life. Just the other day, my wife got rear-ended on the freeway, and right before she got rear-ended, she was told me she was just in her car praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues, listening to a song called Miracles. She was just praying to God, and wouldn't you know, she looked in her rearview mirror at the last second and saw a truck coming at high speeds that had just barely started to put on his brakes. And so it was in traffic, so she turned off the freeway, and she barely got nicked on the side of the car. It did throw her into the side of the freeway, but I believe she was just praying for the perfect prayer of God to save her life and to save perhaps the person's life in front of her. And so crazy things happen when we pray in tongues. So if that's you, I want everybody to just stand to their feet. And if that's you and you want to get baptized with the Holy Spirit, I'd love for you to come right up here to my right on the altar so that I can pray for you. And then after that, I'm going to pray for some other people. So hang out for a little bit. But if that's you, I want you to come up. The Bible says all you got to do is receive the Holy Spirit. You don't have to try. You don't have to strive. You don't have to beg. All you got to do is receive. The next line of powerful people right here. You can still come up as I'm explaining. But basically, the Bible says that even as human beings, as men and women, that we know how to give good gifts to our children. And the Bible says, how much more does God in heaven want to know how to give good gifts and will give you the Holy Spirit if you ask him? That's all. You just got to ask. And so that's what we're going to do. We're just going to ask to receive the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to pray a little prayer, and you guys are just going to repeat after me. And then we're going to just pray for you and have some of the team just come and lay hands on you and help you through. But all we have to do as people is just say whatever comes out. We do have to activate it, because faith without works is dead. So you have to do something. You have to make a noise. You have to make a sound. And oftentimes it'll just come out. And as soon as you start to make sounds, you'll start speaking in language you've never learned before. And you'll find your prayer life go to a brand new level. Most of my prayer life is praying in tongues, especially when you don't know what to say. The Holy Spirit always knows what to say. And so it's a powerful thing. So just turn your palms towards heaven, would you? You can just put that down. And just pray this prayer with me. Just say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are a good God that knows how to give good gifts. And the Bible says that if we want the Holy Spirit, all we have to do is ask. So right now, I ask for the Holy Spirit. God, that you would baptize me with the Holy Spirit and with power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now just start to pray. Just start to pray. If I could have a team. Thank you, Father. Keep going, guys. Keep going. Keep practicing. Keep practicing. Keep practicing. Whenever you're driving in your car, turn on the worship and just speak in tongues, pray in tongues. It'll start to get easy. On this side of the altar, anybody who's feeling sick or has sickness in their body, disease or pain, I want you to come up over here, and we're going to pray for you over here. And we're going to see God do miracles this morning. See God do miracles this morning. Guessing there's more than three people that have pain in their bodies. And while they're coming up here, I want to pray for one more group while they're coming up. And if you have a business, you're a business owner, or you're on the precipice of starting a business, I want you to just lift your hands where you are. Thank you, Lord. Look at all of you. There is an anointing that is in this house that we hear all the time to accelerate your business, to accelerate your finances. There's an anointing to create wealth. There's an anointing to take influence, your place of influence in every sphere of culture. We want Christians to take their place in every sphere of culture. If we want to take a city, we got to take the high places. We got to take the high places. And so I want to pray for business owners today, because I'm believing for an anointing today to fall on your life so that your business will accelerate. You'll start to see differently. You'll start to use wisdom and operate in wisdom and discerning in your businesses and in your meetings. You'll start to see money coming in, and your business is flourishing, and your employees flourishing, and your lives flourishing. So, Father, I thank you right now for all of these business owners. Lord, I thank you that they're going out into the marketplace and they're competing with the world. The Bible says that we are the light of the world.
Father, I pray that the light of heaven would fall on each and every business owner here this morning in Jesus' name. Father, help them to see. Help them to see what you see. Father, I'm praying for divine relationships, Lord, to accelerate their businesses. I see divine relationships coming. I see them coming. I see them coming. The divine relationships that will accelerate your business, that will accelerate the way you do things, that will bring the correct products or the software or the client lists to you in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. And devil, I speak to you and I break your power. I forbid you to attack the people of God at C3 who are launching businesses, who are starting businesses, who are going out and competing in the marketplace. I break every scheme. I cancel every plan of the enemy in Jesus' name. And I declare prosperity, prosperity, wealth, the anointing to create wealth, to build the kingdom of God. There are some of you that are assigned specifically to create billions of dollars to finance the kingdom of God. 16 campuses in San Diego County. It ain't gonna happen unless we have people who are willing to go out into the marketplace and compete and see thousands saved, thousands healed in San Diego County in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Okay, we have people that are sick and in pain right here. I want to get the team, the team to come up and pray. I'm just going to pray a general prayer, and then the team's going to come, and they're going to lay hands on you. So just turn your palms towards heaven. Jesus is the healer. He's already paid the price for your healing. He did it 2,000 years ago. I don't need to know what you're suffering with. The Holy Spirit knows, and he's already healed every disease. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.